Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio on this Veterans Day. Thank you so much to everyone that has served this country and are the real heroes that help allow us to live our lives freely. We thank you and your family so much. And as always, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. 5 questions, 5 answers. We'll get to that in just about 5 seconds. Ari Temkin's going to join us coming up 20 minutes from now. We'll chat a little TCU football, college football playoff, and delve into the Dallas Cowboys as well. And at 9:20 p.m. Eastern, 6:20 p.m. Pacific, we'll do a little NFL picks with Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports. But first up, we get to onsides, offsides. Hot take, Hickey, you know the dealio. Hit it!
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, what do we got?
So speaking of TCU, Texas, like you just mentioned with our previewing that game with Ari Temkin, let's talk about it right now because the 4th-ranked Horned Frog.
Whoa, what happened there?
Of TCU.
You heard the word horn and your brain went in a different direction?
Not football, that is for sure.
What are your Friday night plans tonight? Oh, wait, you're hosting here.
I am here, so.
Oh, well, you never know these days.
What? Wow. Well.
You never know what happens in these studios these days.
I do know what happens. I promise you, nothing where your brain is thinking. That is for sure. Just straight down the line here, talking about some sports, which we'll try to do here, as the Horned Frogs of TCU face their toughest test to date on Saturday as they take on the 18th-ranked Texas Longhorns in Austin. Now, despite being undefeated, ranked 4th in the country, like you just mentioned, boasting the 3rd-best scoring offense in the country, and facing a Longhorns team that is 74th in total defense and has 3 losses, TCU is a 7.5-point underdog, according to Vegas. Now, in his year and a half in Austin, Steve Sarkisian has blown 5 double-digit second-half leads. Onsides or offsides, Texas will win and cover the 7.5 spread.
Here's why the spread, I think, is so high. I think this is Texas... Vegas banking that TCU is not going to have Quinnen Johnston, the wide receiver who's going to be the first wide receiver in the draft. He's been hurt this week. We don't know if he's going to play. I've not seen an update in his status. I've not gotten anything that says he will definitely play. So this is pretty much, I think, Vegas saying that either expect him not to play or they expect him to not be that effective, maybe because of the injury that he's been dealing with. This number is so bizarre. It's so weird. And it would almost be crazy to not plus the 7.5 points because TCU's been undefeated. But because of all those reasons, that's why I'm taking Texas not only to win, but Texas to cover the spread. Because I've examined this spread the entire week. I've tried to figure out why it's like that, and the best I could do is the whole possibility of Quinnen Johnston not playing in the game. So, onsides, I think Texas is going to win. They're going to cover the 7.5. Where are you on that one, by the way?
TCU. I think Johnston will play. TCU, I think, is going to win the game. I think there's a little too much concern or hand-wringing about maybe how they played recently. But also, Texas defense is not good whatsoever. So I don't know how they're going
to
get a stop.
It has nothing to do with the way that they played recently because they've won. Like, all right, West Virginia wasn't the best opponent. But when they were playing those teams that were close back-and-forth games, those were all games at the time against top 25 teams. I just don't get how this is a 7.5-point spread in favor of Texas. That's why I'm taking Texas, because it makes no sense, but that's why I'm just going with the nonsensical thing here, I guess.
Well, I think West Virginia, they were in it the entire time, and even Texas Tech last week was in it for basically three quarters until TCU pulled away late. So, like, even when they're playing lesser competition, non-ranked teams are not very good teams, they've still been struggling.
But 7.5 points?
Yeah, I don't get it. I think TCU's going to win. Maybe I'll be eating my words on Saturday night, but... And it's just weird to me that no one's looking at Texas defense, their propensity for blowing second-half leads and not getting really any stops, and just thinking that's going to magically turn around in one game.
Is this maybe Vegas trying to get some suckers from earlier in the year that just saw Texas play Alabama when they didn't have Quinn Ewers go, oh, now Quinn Ewers is back. They're going up against TCU. We saw Texas almost beat Alabama without Quinn Ewers. So, yeah, they're just going to go all of a sudden with Texas. That's the desperate measures that I'm reaching to on this one. I'm trying to think how Vegas is getting people to think. But Vegas has really messed me up on this one because you're right. Like, TCU should win the game, but because it's 7.5, that makes no sense to me. That's why I'm inclined to take Texas laying the 7.5, even though everything I've watched this year does not tell me Texas wins and covers the spread, but I'm saying it's going to happen.
All right. Another interesting game.
That is a mind-you-know-what.
Oh, it is. That is for sure. And either Texas or either Vegas will be right and build in more buildings, or some of them could be coming down possibly.
Don't worry, it all evens itself out anyway. Vegas ends up winning. The buildings will be there. Don't lose.
That is for
new
sure.
New buildings over and over and over again.
In the NFL, one of the most interesting coaching matchups of the weekend is Colts Raiders. Now, Indy will try out first-time head coach Jeff Saturday, who was hired on Monday morning after serving as an ESPN analyst once he retired from the NFL.
Joe Thomas is screaming right now when he hears this question, saying this is the worst thing to ever happen to the NFL.
The offensive line brethren, I guess the line stops there when you get
a head
coaching opportunity that you don't deserve.
You had an offensive lineman, a legendary offensive lineman, stab another NFL offensive lineman here. Former offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman on offensive lineman crime right there. You rarely see it.
Maybe we should just line them up Oklahoma drill style. Thomas against Saturday.
I would put my money on Joe Thomas. Love Jeff, but Joe.
You see how slim and trim Joe Thomas is looking these days?
He looks good. And Jeff Saturday is slim too, but.
Sure.
Joe Thomas, though,
I wonder how much weight he lost, because he does not look anywhere near the Joe Thomas where he played. He looks as if he could do one of those Iron Man challenges right now. It's kind of crazy. They should be a 30 for 30 just on former fat NFL offensive linemen and how great of shape they're in. It's really remarkable.
Apparently, it's not as hard as you think to lose at least a lot of the weight at the beginning.
Well, yeah, because you're not eating the way that you once did, and you don't have to be a fat slob.
It's almost like harder to keep the weight on than it is to just drop it. Maybe we'll get there one day.
When you're a big guy, I'm not saying it's easy to lose the weight, but if you're committed to it, the weight does fall off pretty quickly.
And it has definitely fallen off both Jeff Saturday and Joe Thomas. So speaking of slim and trim Jeff Saturday, he'll be on one sideline. The other sideline will feature Josh McDaniels, who has struggled, to say the least, in his first year in the desert, starting off just 2-6. Now, the Raiders last year were 7-2 in one-score games. This year, it's been the total opposite. They are 0-5 so far. Onsides or offsides, the Colts and Jeff Saturday will win the game on Sunday.
I saw Jeff Saturday say earlier today that it's his decision on who's going to play at quarterback. Does that mean Matt Ryan's going to start in this game?
No, it's going to be Sam Ehlinger. But Matt Ryan is the backup, so you could see a switch at halftime.
Okay. Has that been announced?
Been what announced?
Has it been announced that Sam Ehlinger is going to start?
Yes.
Oh,
he said it in his first press conference.
Gotcha.
It was announced today Matt Ryan was the backup.
Okay, because I saw today that there was a quote that Jeff Saturday said it's his decision on who will play a quarterback, so I thought that maybe that door was left back open.
It was more going forward, like the rest of the season, not just this week, but he'll have the call for the rest of the year who plays.
Shaq Leonard will not play. Darren Waller will not play. Hunter Renfrow will not play. All on IR now. I really want to pick the Colts here. Now, Jonathan Taylor's expected to play. You have an angry Davante Adams. You would think Derek Carr is going to be able to outduel Sam Ehlinger. As much as I want to act, this is the one time I want to see the Colts win, just so everyone can shut up about the Saturday stuff. I do think the Raiders are going to slightly edge out the Colts 23-20. Surprise. That's a win for the Colts if they get to 20 points away. Their offense has been functioning. So I will go offside on this one. Jeff Saturday will not win on Sunday.
Offside.
The question was, will he win? So I'm saying he will not.
Josh Allen's status for Sunday's game against the Vikings is officially listed as questionable. He was limited during Friday's practice after being listed as a non-participant in both Wednesday and Thursday. Now, Allen has started 63 straight games. The last time he missed a game was back in 2018, his rookie year, also for UCL injury. And he missed
four games. You've been drinking
eggnog
tonight?
Just can't talk. I don't know why.
And you have to do a four-hour show later?
I know, not good.
Yeah. I may be sleeping during that tonight.
Maybe. I hope so. But
well, last week he yelled at me, oh, you're not staying up to watch my show? Or listen to my show?
How dare you? What else are you doing on Friday night? Come on. No one else has got plans.
Yeah, I got nothing to do tonight, so there could be a chance I'm listening. Maybe I'll call in at 2:30 a.m. Since you wouldn't put me on your podcast, maybe now I'll get on.
Here we go.
Get on the hot take hickey hour.
Get on the show and drop a hot take.
Nah, it's you. I don't drop hot takes. Just you. All right, what do you got?
Speaking of Josh Allen, so again, he had the UCL injury back in 2018. He missed four games back in his rookie year. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Josh Allen will play on Sunday.
If you would have asked me on Monday, I would have said no. Tuesday, I would have said no. Wednesday, would have said no. Thursday, would have said no. Friday morning, would have said no. Friday afternoon, would have said no. Then early Friday evening, I saw this video of Josh Allen at practice. No brace or sleeve seen on his right elbow, according to John Scott. Now, there's a little bit of a tape job. But the moment when he saw the media, he ran off the field. That's too loosey-goosey for me. I think Josh Allen's feeling good. Maybe it's not as bad as we thought it was going to be. He should not play. It's up in the air. They haven't ruled him out yet. It could be some gamesmanship. Maybe I'm going to get burned here. But I'm going to say, yeah, Josh Allen does play on Sunday. And also, DA from our great network morning show, the Damon and Mendelora show, he has made the trip to Buffalo, to Western New York. If DA's in attendance, Josh Allen's got to play. He can't have Case Keenum in the building starting at quarterback when DA is in the building. So, yeah, Josh Allen's going to play on Sunday. See, I'm a company guy there.
Didn't think about that one. Good call.
The DA factor.
Hopefully Ian Rapoport and Adam Schefter are aware, by the way, of the DA factor in terms of him playing this weekend.
Can you imagine Rapoport before the game? Damon Amendola is going to be in the building. So, therefore, we're told that Josh Allen feels pressure to play because DA is going to be there. Hey, aren't you the guy that hosts the show that had the producer crap his pants this earlier this week? Oh, I got to play. That was awesome.
Got to play. Got to make you proud. Thank you for making my week. I'm going to make yours.
Go ahead.
It's not a massive week in college football this weekend, but there are a few tricky matchups, Zach, that could shake up the rankings. Number 7, LSU, fresh off their win over Alabama, are just 3.5-point favorites on the road against an Arkansas team that just lost last week at home to Liberty. Number 1, Georgia will go to Stark Vegas to battle Mississippi State. Well, number 6, Oregon, they'll have their hands full with the number 1 passing team in the country in number 25, Washington. Onsides or offsides, Zach, either LSU, Georgia, or Oregon will lose on Saturday.
Once again, eggnog hickey. The LSU spread concerns me a little bit because Arkansas has faded very quickly and it's only 3.5 points. Georgia's going to win. Oregon could be on upset alert against Washington. Kalen DeBoer's done a really good job with Washington in year number 1. I'm going to think the upset comes in TCU, Texas. So, therefore, I'm not going to expect a lot of other chaos to unfold. So, I'll say LSU wins, Georgia wins, and Oregon wins. So, you ask me either LSU, Georgia, Oregon will lose on Saturday. I will go offside.
Offside.
And finally, in a key NFC West battle, the statuses of both starting quarterbacks are uncertain heading into Sunday. Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford entered concussion protocol on Wednesday, but head coach Sean McVay did mention today that the Super Bowl champ has progressed well and his status for Sunday is questionable. Kyler Murray will be a game-time decision after he suffered a hamstring injury on Sunday against the Seahawks. Onside or offside, Zach? The Rams, they need this game more than the Cardinals do.
The Rams just won a Super Bowl. Even if this season goes right down the drain the way that you expect it to, you're going to have your main people back next year. I don't think the Rams are making the playoffs with the way that they lost last week. The Cardinals, not that I think they're going to make the playoffs, but you lose this game. It just, the calls for Cliff Kingsbury, who you just extended through 2027, they just, the call to get him fired, just they grow louder and louder and they get louder and louder. So because of that, I think the Cardinals are the team that needs this game more, especially even though no one watches it. You have this in-season Hard Knocks. That's a disaster. Where you have the quarterback and the wide receiver fighting in Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. You have your coach who has just been brutal so far, and he just got extended. The Cardinals haven't done anything yet. The Rams at least won a Super Bowl, so that's why I'm going to say that the Cardinals need this game more. So when you ask me the Rams need this game more than the Cardinals, I will go offside.
Offside.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll talk a little college football. Also dabble into the world of the Dallas Cowboys with an Ari Temkin next.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Chat a little college football, also sprinkling the Dallas Cowboys right now with Ari Temkin, who does a great job, Big 12 Radio on Sirius XM. Ari, how you been?
Great, Zach. How are you, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. First off, you were at LSU Alabama last weekend. Describe to me that chaos on the field after the game.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I definitely wouldn't have thought that I'd be one to be crashing fields anymore, but I mean, at that point it was basically like you had to, you didn't really have a choice, and to be quite frank with you, we had actually parked on the other side of the stadium, so it just made the most sense, instead of walking all the way around, just walk across. So really it was just, that was the whole purpose of it, was to get to the car straight, you know, fastest way to a spot of the straight line. So but I mean, it was incredible. A buddy of mine here in Dallas is a huge LSU fan and was able to get free tickets. So, yeah, no, for sure. You want to drive and free tickets to LSU, Alabama? Absolutely, I'm in. It was a blast. I mean, the game was incredible, and it was my first time at Tiger Stadium. And for it to be, you know, Alabama on a night game, it lived up to the expectations that I had for it in terms of what I'd heard, especially for night games at Tiger Stadium. I mean, they're handing you, you know, gumbo as you're walking into the game. It was incredible.
Now, everyone gets crazy when Alabama loses, and it just becomes just ridiculous analysis. Oh, the program's dying. Oh, the dynasty's dead. They lost by 1 point. They also had a 3-point loss to Tennessee. They haven't been playing well this year, but what do you think the immediate future is going to be for this Alabama program, as they're not going to be in the college football playoff this year?
Yeah, it is kind of amazing, right? Like decades upon decades of absolute dominance and, like, you know, within a few weeks, it's like, oh, it's over. Like, that was quick. That's bizarre. I mean, yeah, they're by their own standard not very good this year, but in, like, the, you know, the college football world at large, they're still a really good team. But I mean, to me, you look at all of the first round draft picks at wide receiver that they've had. I mean, they have just gone through unbelievable playmaker after unbelievable playmaker, and it's why you look around the league right now, and the majority of the best wide receivers in the NFL played at Alabama over the last 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, they just don't have the type of playmakers that they're used to having. And, you know, I'm just not sure about Bill O'Brien in terms of his offensive play calling and coaching. I think last year they kind of overcame some of that because of the talent that they had at wide receiver. But I would say, like, to isolate two of the biggest reasons why Alabama's not, like, the you know, on par with the rest of its dynasty this year, I would say it's probably lack of playmakers and mixed with maybe some questionable decisions at the offensive coordinator position. By the way, I think Bill O'Brien is going to get a head coaching job this offseason.
Where do you think he's going to land? I've been saying Georgia Tech or Georgia Arizona Tech. State.
Yeah, Georgia Tech. That would be my guess for sure.
Talking to Ari Temkin right now. Hey, on the whole coaching search, do you have a name maybe for Auburn or Nebraska that you're thinking could be a possibility right now?
Man, it's a great question. You know, it's funny because you hear kind of people talk around the league, you know, around college football, and you know, major advantageous position to kind of be, you know, where Nebraska is in terms of just having such a long period of time in order to get a good idea and a good gauge of the market and what it looks like. You know, I'll say this about Auburn. You know, because of what LSU was able to do last year in terms of, you know, they went after multiple coaching candidates and kind of struck out and then ended up with Brian Kelly, who, you know, I mean, all the guy does is win. I think Auburn's going to try to swing for something big here. So, you know, it could be a situation in which we're looking at all these available, you know, people and coaches. I wonder, you know, who is the major surprise potential for an Auburn? Because they – look, I mean, Wisconsin's a great job, and Madison's an unbelievable town, and Camp Randall, I mean, it's an incredible place. And Auburn has its flaws and problems. I mean, it is – there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen in terms of decision makers, big money boosters. It could be a problem, but I still think because of the resources they have at their disposal, you know, it's one of the best jobs in college football, and it's the best job available right now. So, you know, it's funny, I heard this about LSU, but you know, every coach they've hired has won a national championship. So it's like crazy to think – like, yeah, Brian Kelly, yeah, he'll win a title at LSU. I mean, recent history suggests, look at every coach that LSU's hired, they've won a title. It's pretty remarkable. So, you know, Auburn, I think, feels like it's in that category. Obviously, they've won titles. They've competed for the playoff, the BCS, you know, championship era as well. So, for Auburn, it could be somebody that's currently coaching a big-time program.
Here's what I said, and I think Wisconsin, by the way, it's Jim Leonard's job until I hear another name gets hired. You look at Nebraska, Gary Patterson, I saw, was brought up by Football Scoop the other day, which I think would be a really solid hire. And I didn't even think about him for that job. But for Auburn, it feels like it's going to be Lane Kiffin. And I know that he has a good job at Ole Miss, but it's not a job that you have to stay. I have a feeling that it's just going to be Lane at Auburn. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
Let me ask you this, Zach. Can you win a national championship at Ole Miss?
No.
Well, you can win one at Auburn.
That's why I think you'd take that jump. I would.
Yeah.
How about Deion Sanders? You think Deion Sanders coaching the Power Five next year?
You know, this is such an interesting conversation because
I hope, like, it happens. By the way,
so do you? Because I love what he's doing for HBCUs. I mean, you think about the amount of attention, you know, that he's bringing to HBCUs. Like, you know, I thought this was a horrible hire. I thought, there's no way Deion is going to do this. Are you kidding me? Deion with that ego? There's no way he's going to do that. He's blown me away. I mean, what he's done has been unbelievable. You know, obviously, in terms of recruiting, in terms of creating a profile, it's incredible. And, you know, and obviously, the Travis Hunter last year, I think, you know, the more attention you bring, and he's very conscientious of that. And so, look, I do hope over time he eventually lands a Power 5 job, and he will. I mean, if I were at Auburn, if any of these programs are looking for a new coach, I would hire Deion Sanders tomorrow because of how impressive he's been. But I hope he stays for a little bit because I just love what he's doing, and I think it's just such a larger purpose for him than, you know, than taking one of these jobs right now.
Yeah, it's a great point that you bring up. And let me be clear, if he were to leave, I want to see him in the SEC. Like, I want to see him up against the best of the best because I think he could be a home run in the Power 5.
I want to see him at Florida State.
Oh, that would
be
great.
To return Florida State to power?
I had an opportunity a few years ago. Just ask him. Ari Temkin here with us. Before we get into the Big 12, I guess we can start the conversation here. Is Sonny Dykes the coach of the year, or will it be Josh Heupel?
In college football, it's funny because we actually had this discussion this week. What about Lance Leipold?
Fair point.
So in the Big 12, it's funny you bring that up from a national perspective, and I think two names you brought up are really great, without a doubt. But yeah, I mean, we were on Big 12 radio this week talking about, like, is it Sonny Dykes or Lance Leipold, and then how do those guys compare to, you know, all of college football? I mean, look, I don't think you can go wrong with either of those two in terms of Dykes and Leipold. I'm a Kansas alum. Kansas has been an FCS-level program playing in a Power 5 conference for the last decade. Like, that's where they were competing. So they were not competitive in any Big 12 game. They were barely competitive in the FCS games they played. So for him to do, and he hasn't even been on campus for 2 years. This is his second season, and he's been there for a year and a half. So it is remarkable. And not only that, but then, like, they've had a lot of injury issues, especially along the offensive line. And, like, 3 years ago, they had one of the worst offensive lines ever in college football. And a lot of these players have stuck around and are now experienced players that are really good, but they've lost a lot of those guys. And they shouldn't have the depth that they have. Like, Oklahoma lost their quarterback and lost to Texas 49-0 with their backup quarterback. How is Kansas better positioned with their backup quarterback situation than Oklahoma? That doesn't make sense. That can't ever happen, and it's happening right now because of how Jason Bean has played in relief of Jalen Daniels. So, look, Dykes took a team that was picked preseason 7th in the Big 12, a team that finished, you know, eighth or ninth in the Big 12 last year at TCU, and basically that entire roster is 9-0 right now. So it's hard for me to figure out who would be the coach of the year. And you mentioned Heupel, and considering the turnaround for Tennessee too, those are three teams and three programs that have had considerable turnaround, but obviously TCU and Tennessee playing for much higher stakes than Kansas.
Ari Temkin, you know that Lance Leipold can be very patient because whenever he wants another job, he'll be able to get it. Last year, there were so many big jobs available. There's some big jobs this year, but not to the level so far from what we've seen last year. Do you think Leipold is back at Kansas next year? I know you want him to be back, but do you think he will be?
Yeah, I do. And look, I mean, I'd be happy for him if he left, even as a Kansas fan, as tough as it would be to lose. But, like, just for him to take the job, like, I gave him a hug at Big 12 Media Days just because, like, he took the job. Like, it just
that's great.
It's been so bad. Rock bottom has just continued to get deeper and deeper for this program. It just got worse and worse and worse. It wasn't going to get better. So for somebody to take it and, like, leverage that into a better job, do it. Absolutely. You should do that if you want to.
Yeah.
And so I'd fully support it. You know, he was asked about it, obviously, with Kansas off the undefeated start and then Nebraska having that job opening there because he has a little bit of history of coaching Nebraska. And look, he's from Wisconsin, was a quarterback and at Wisconsin Whitewater and led that program to prominence, winning multiple championships at Wisconsin Whitewater. So, you know, that was another one that was worrisome. But you mentioned Leonard, and I think that was, you know, what at least Wisconsin was hoping for. And I think they played to a higher level that would justify his return in the future. So, I mean, look, he mentioned earlier this season when asked about it that, you know, he just got there. He's got a wife and kids. Like, you have to think about that too, right? Like, he just moved, you know, cities from Buffalo, New York to Lawrence, Kansas. And, you know, and again, less than a year and a half. So I wouldn't begrudge him if he left. He should eventually. And hopefully this program, you know, is on better footing without him. But I'll say this too. I hear more coaches talk about being in alignment with administrators now and the importance of that more than ever. And I know that, you know, the new athletic director, Travis Goff, who was hired just shortly before he hired Lance Leipold, you know, they have very much the same vision. They've been playing in a high school level football stadium for, you know, forever. And so their plan's not to build a new stadium. So hopefully Kansas is able to put some money and invest it into football. And obviously the results this year have justified it.
Ari Temkin, why is Texas, I know that there's a Quinnen Johnson injury, we'll see if he plays or not, but why is Texas a 7.5-point favorite against TCU?
Yeah, I didn't really understand last week why Texas was favored against Kansas State with K-State coming off their huge win, and I just, you know, I went with it. You got, when you see a line you're confused about, you got to go with it. So I took Texas -7 in this game because it makes no sense. Look, Texas plays a lot better at home. They have an incredible offense. Now, Quinn Ewers, you know, he played really, really well to start the year, and he's probably had his two worst games the last two games. He had a really bad game against Oklahoma State. He was better against K-State, but still probably his second worst game since being a coming collegiate. The other part of this that's so funny is, so TCU slow starts and they finish strong and they come from behind and win games. Texas is the opposite. They've start strong and get blown out in the second half. Like last week, they're up 31-10 at halftime on Kansas State and won by a touchdown because Kansas State outscored them 21-3 in the second half with Adrian Martinez. So, like, there's so many parts of this where, like, I don't know why I would think Texas would be favored by a touchdown, and Vegas basically thinks they're going to, you know, win outright 75% of the time. So Vegas is pretty heavy on Texas to win this. Again, I think it's being at home. And, look, we can't downplay the pressure on TCU. You know, when you're playing, and this is part of the, you know, future playoff dynamic that won't exactly exist, but when you're playing every week and you know that your playoff lives are on the line, there's a lot of pressure there, especially for a team that didn't have expectations like this coming into the season.
Who are your four teams? Who do you think will be the four teams at the end of the year, Ari Temkin?
Oh, man. That is – it's funny because we think we know, and, like, college football and recent history suggests we don't.
Last week.
This year even more so. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Every year. It's like – well, it's going to play out like this, and then there's a crazy upset at some point that just kills everything.
Well, let me ask you this. Since you're the Big 12 guy, does TCU – I think they do. Do they need to be undefeated to get into the college football playoff this year?
Yeah. Yes. I would say it would have to – the SEC champion is getting in. There's a chance for a second SEC champion to get in – or for a second SEC team to get in. Most likely that will happen. So you could probably look at two SEC teams and then the winner of Ohio State, Michigan. So then where's the fourth spot coming from?
I would say the Pac-12 or the undefeated TCU, or maybe if the Pac-12 champion has two losses and TCU isn't undefeated, if Michigan beats Ohio State by the slimmest of margins, maybe you have two teams from the Big Ten and two teams from the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's probably the betting favorite. Ohio State, Michigan, and, you know what, Georgia and LSU or Georgia and Tennessee.
Yeah, it'd probably be Georgia, Tennessee, I would think.
Georgia, Tennessee, yeah, right. So, I when I look at the rest of the country, I see just not very impressive resumes. You know, it's like the old adage, ain't nobody played nobody. And that's really the case with the Pac-12 and the ACC and the Big 12. The Big 12 doesn't have any bottom feeders. The Pac-12 has a ton of bottom feeders, and so does the ACC. That's where I give it a leg up. But that's the problem, is there's no greatness in the Big 12. And so it looks like a bunch of average wins, but I'd argue it's harder to win week in and week out in the Big 12 this year, more so than any other conference. I would take a one-loss Big 12 team over a one-loss Pac-12 champion, but I'm biased.
45 seconds or less. I only got 45 seconds left, Ari Temkin. Your Dallas Cowboys at the end of the year. How do you think we're talking about them?
Super Bowl. Absolutely. Can't wait to watch the Eagles crash and burn. No, I'm just kidding. I love the idea of the Odell Beckham move. If that happens, I think that's a huge move that they have not made in a long, long time, and they need a move like that to get them over the hump after it's been, what, 25, 26, 27, 20, 30 years?
So you're thinking that's what it's going to be. Like, if they get Odell, they could be in the Super Bowl.
I mean, it's not like the magic pill. I mean, clearly he's a flawed player. There's reason, you know, like there's a lot going on there. But yeah, look, they need more weapons. I think there's some addition by subtraction with Amari, but they're missing Amari. They're missing a player that can, you know, take some of the pressure off of CeeDee Lamb. And is that Odell Beckham? I mean, perhaps. But I just, like, this team needs something like this because it's been so conservative in terms of its personnel decisions over the last nearly three decades. It's so stubborn and obnoxious. You'd hope that they'd make a move that would try to put them over the top. At the very least, try to make a move like this that puts you over the top.
Ari Temkin, great stuff. We appreciate the time as always. Thank you.
Take care, brother.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Why, thank you very much. You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All righty, we have this conversation each and every week. The answer has changed a bunch of times. Let's get it on the record now and see how it's going to change this time next week. Who will be the four teams at the end of the year in the college football playoff? Hot take, Hickey. Who will be your four teams in your opinion?
I will say Georgia, Michigan, TCU, Tennessee.
So who messes up the party in the Pac-12?
I think Oregon wins a Pac-12. I just think Tennessee's resume will get them in over Oregon.
Because of the Georgia performance. Not that Tennessee played Georgia great, but Georgia won 49-3 against Oregon.
And Tennessee's wins over Kentucky, Alabama, and LSU, which are looking pretty good, where right now Oregon just has the UCLA win.
I threw this out 2 months ago. The idea of two SEC teams and two Big Ten teams getting in. I brought it back up earlier this week. And I'm really starting to think that it's going to happen. I'm really starting to think that Georgia goes up against Ohio State in the first round. And Michigan is up against Tennessee. And that's the top four teams. Those will be the top four teams. Now, you're going to say, Zach, how does it happen? Georgia's going to have to win the SEC, which will happen. Michigan's going to need to beat Ohio State by a razor-thin margin, like a two-point conversion or by a game-winning field goal. Tennessee will only have one loss at the end of the year. And then the last two dominoes to fall, and they're big dominoes, is TCU getting a loss, and I think that's going to happen this weekend against Texas. And then the Pac-12 champ having two losses. I think the biggest way that this gets blown up, Brian, this idea of Georgia against Ohio State, Michigan against Tennessee, or just whatever order you want, those being the four teams. Number one, Ohio State beating Michigan. Now, if it's by a field goal or two-point conversion, maybe it's the same argument, but Michigan, other than the Penn State win, really doesn't have much. So I think that game's more important for Michigan to beat Ohio State than it is for Ohio State to beat Michigan. It's important either way you look at it, but I'm talking about in this exercise to get all four teams in. But the other way that this gets blown up is the Pac-12 having a one-loss champion or TCU being undefeated. Because if TCU is undefeated as a Big 12 champion, they deserve to be in. But if TCU has one loss, I think the committee would then maybe give the edge to a one-loss non-conference champion in Ohio State. I'm thinking the Pac-12 is probably what could screw up this party the most in terms of getting all four of those teams, Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, and Tennessee, in the playoff. Because the way that Oregon's playing, I know that Pac-12 usually beats up on one another, it's starting to look more and more likely, now it could change within a week, that Oregon ends up winning the Pac-12.
Not even that. I mean, right now when you have Oregon, UCLA, and USC all with one loss, and they just take the two best records, you could also end up with a Pac-12 title game of, let's say, UCLA and Oregon.
Yes, or with UCLA, one loss.
Or Oregon, USC, one loss, and the winner's guaranteed one loss, which kind of hurts you.
I wonder how, if USC is a one-loss Pac-12 champ, I do think they would get in. UCLA, one-loss Pac-12 champ. You would think if Oregon's in, one loss Pac-12 champ, USC one loss Pac-12 champ, they would get in. If UCLA, who I like Dorian Thompson-Robinson a lot, if they're a one-loss Pac-12 champ, do you think they're getting in?
Yes, I do. Do you have two top nine victories in 4 weeks?
Now, hold on. Give me your four teams one more time.
Georgia.
Michigan.
TCU. Tennessee.
Okay, what happens if it's UCLA against Tennessee for that final spot? Is it the same thing as Oregon, right? You have Oregon winning the Pac-12 right now?
I do.
So would it be the same thing? That's why UCLA wouldn't get in if UCLA was to win the Pac-12, in your opinion?
UCLA is different because they have USC in the regular season. So that's an extra top 10 win. Honestly, if it's UCLA-Tennessee, resume-wise, I have a tough time keeping UCLA out over Tennessee, honestly.
Now, UCLA, just a reminder, they did lose to Oregon.
Right, so you'd avenge your loss to Oregon.
Oh, yeah, they meet up.
You beat USC, who's a top 10 team. Mm-hmm. And you'd have the same amount of top 10 victories right now as Tennessee. And again, if Alabama loses this weekend, that's not that Alabama loss, fair and fair, is going to get only worse. You're a conference champ.
And also remember, UCLA, just to bring them into the conversation, because I feel like they're being left out of this conversation, but they still have a chance to go win the Pac-12 here. They already beat Utah. And at the time when they played Washington, I know it's what does that turn into throughout the year, and Washington's now a top 25 team. They did beat Washington when they were 15th in the country by a touchdown, at least a touchdown. What was that game? Like somewhere it was like a between 7 or 10 points. I remember watching that game. That was back in late September. It's going to be, you have about, how many teams do you say could make the college football playoff right now? 8? Would you say probably is that number? What would be your number on how many teams could make the college football playoff?
Yeah, probably 8 or 9, somewhere in that range.
Well, let's go through it right now. Georgia's going to make the college football playoff. Ohio State could. Michigan could. TCU could. Tennessee could. Oregon could. Could LSU? 2 losses. They're going to have to win the SEC championship. We've never seen a 2-loss SEC team get in. I would think it's unlikely.
I would say unlikely, but I think they like have a chance. Yes, they're in the. I would put them in the conversation.
USC could and yes. UCLA could.
Yes.
So that's 9 teams right there. If you're including LSU, does any of those other 1-loss teams like Alabama? There's no way they make it. Any other of those 1-loss teams have a shot at getting in?
I don't think Ole Miss, because you're going to need LSU to lose. Ole Miss is interesting just because they really haven't played anybody. So right now you
beat
Alabama.
They're not getting a college football playoff though.
Alabama's not a great win right now. You'd have to honestly probably smoke Georgia. I think it's very unlikely, but that's another 1-loss team that's kind of lurking in the weeds. Where
is there any way for an ACC team to get in? The two would be Clemson or UNC, whoever wins the ACC. I would say no.
I don't think so. I don't really see a path.
I'll tell you about all the top 25 teams that they have this year, though, the ACC.
Yeah, beating UNC at 15 or 10 is not going to be enough for Clemson to make a run, and that's assuming they don't lose another game.
Yeah, no, Clemson's path had to be undefeated, and they blew that opportunity when Notre Dame just blew the doors off of them last week at touchdown Jesus. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So, yeah, I'm going to go with it being Georgia, Michigan, Tennessee, Ohio State. That would be my 4 right now. And I think the biggest spoiler to that party could be the Pac-12. Take a break. When we come on back, we will give you one thought on every NFL game for this upcoming weekend in Week 10. We got Week 10 kicked off last night with the Carolina Panthers, led by PJ Walker, Brian Burns and company, Derek Brown getting a victory over the Atlanta Falcons. Tom Brady clearly going to win that division, even if the Bucs do lose to the Seahawks this weekend, which is definitely in play. This season, for the first time, you could hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free. Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light. With the free AutoZone Fix Finder service, it will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your life for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s, cops hunted down key figures of the Dixie Mafia, including its enigmatic ringleader, Kirksey Nix.
I'm interested in making money. I'm not interested in hurting people.
15 years into Kirksey's life sentence, the Dixie Mafia was practically folklore, but that would soon change. I'm Jed Lipinski. This is Gone South, a documentary podcast from C13 Originals, a Cadence 13 studio. Season 2, The Dixie Mafia. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.